Hi, I'm James P. Friel.
And I'm Dean Holland. It's time to fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls.
That's right. If you're an entrepreneur who's wanting to take your business to the next level and have a bit of fun while getting cutting-edge advice on your business, marketing, and sales, welcome to Just the Tips, arguably the best podcast in the entire world. I guess that's good, right?
Yeah, that's good to me.
All right. That was easy. Yeah. That was the easiest thing we did all day.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Just the Tips. This is your host, James P. Friel. I am super excited to be here with you guys today. As always, I have the pleasure of being here with my esteemed co-host, Mr. Dean Holland.
Hello, hello, hello. How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm not going to lie. So we've got we've had an event going on, and we've got some friends staying with us for the event. And you ever get like just like engrossed in these epic conversations and totally lose track of time?
Yeah, definitely. I to be honest, I feel really needy of that from you, but I just never get it.
Thank you. Definitely appreciate that. so we've been talking till like super late. I'm used to getting, you know, like 7 hours, 8 hours of sleep because, like, I don't know, I function better with more sleep. And the last few nights, like 3 or 4 hours, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's amazing how much better you think when you actually get some sleep.
Right.
So, you know, I know that I'm the only one on the show really that does any thinking. So I'm just going to have to ask you, like, if you can pull a little bit of your own weight today, Dean, that would be amazing.
I can already tell in the tone of your voice, your ability to attack me is not going to be on high alert today. I can tell.
Well, here's a great opportunity for you then.
I'm going to take full advantage, believe me.
Excellent. So, so actually though, you and I had a call the other day, cause as, some of the listeners might know, you and I are in a heated battle,
yes,
with writing these books.
Yes.
And, why don't you tell everybody who's winning at the moment?
Well, I have to say, as of right this very second, you are simply kicking my ass. So I could come out with all kinds of excuses, you know, like getting married and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I'm not going to do that. I'm bigger than that. But if anyone's taking note, just be aware that there are very good reasons. but right now, I am massively behind. I think, do I remember rightly, you said you are nearly done with chapter 3?
I'm actually in chapter 4 now.
It's getting worse. And yeah. I am, I think, midway through chapter 1. So I literally have to pick myself into gear and get on with it now. I have to double down.
Well, you know, like I think you may have mentioned at some point, if you just, you know, if you need me to write your book after I'm done writing mine,
right?
I'm sure there's a sum of money that could be paid and I would be happy to do it.
I'll keep that on to note. I may have to take you up on that.
Right. Well, in any case, though, I thought it might be cool. I had this one chapter that I thought would be really interesting to share, because when people are growing a business, my experience is that there are reasons why some people grow and they just kind of continue to make progress, and then there's reasons why some people seem to stay stuck.
Right.
And so I have this one section in one of the chapters of the book, which is all about, you know, the reasons why you stay stuck. And I believe one of the reasons that you stay stuck as an entrepreneur is because you try and do it all on your own. And I talk about there's three false beliefs that drive that behavior of trying to do everything on your own. And I know that, like, early on in my business, you know, I was like, oh, well, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Mm. And then you start, you know, hiring a team and managing a team and leveraging a team the right way, and you realize you should, not only do you not have to do everything on your own, you actually shouldn't be doing everything on your own.
Right. Correct.
And, yeah. And so I don't know. I thought maybe sharing a few of those false beliefs might be interesting for people today, but I don't know. What do you, you know, we only have a couple listeners, one of them being your mom. You think she'd be interested in that?
Yeah, I think she'd find that quite useful, at least just to understand some of the pains that I've gone through over the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure it'll also help her to wrap her head around, like, you know, how to, not that she manages you, but sort of like, you know, keeps under control could be useful content.
Yes, indeed. And I think to some degree, yes, she still does manage me. She does not hold back from telling me how much she thinks I'm screwing up.
So, right.
So yeah, I think this will be a good exercise for everyone all around.
Well, I guess she and I have that in common. You've surrounded yourself with people who are trying to keep you on the straight and narrow.
Yes. It's why I love to invite Ramacio back on the show, because he's better than us.
Well, he is better than us. And just as a little side note, I believe we're actually getting sound bites, Ramacio sound bites that we're going to be able to play on the show here in the not too distant future.
Yes. And I love this.
This way he can be ever present with us.
Right. Just constantly looking down upon us.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he's so much better than all of us, quite frankly. So it's going to be amazing once we get those in place.
Right.
Yeah. So, so onward then, Dean.
Yes. Onward we go.
Yes. Onward. So, trying to do it all on your own. I think the first false belief that drives that is that I am the hero in this business, right? Like, I'm the one who needs to do all of the important work. Everybody else is here just to sort of take tasks off of my plate and do, you know, the trivial things, right? I think there's, right? Like, I think there's this sense that at some point in the business, as an entrepreneur, you're always going to be an extremely important person in your company, and the business growth and all of that will drive from your leadership and from your vision and from all of those things. But you're not good at everything, you know?
Right.
And I think you have to get reasonably good at a lot of things when you're first starting.
Sure.
And that sort of gives you the feeling that, okay, well, I'm good at, you know, Facebook ads, or I'm good at, you know, doing whatever the thing is that we deliver, you know, whether it's, you know, building e-commerce sites or consulting or, you know, whatever that thing is. And you sort of get wrapped up in yourself because you have to at the beginning.
Right. Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, I got to get good at this. Like, I got to get, like, I know, like, I spent an entire year working on copywriting, right? And I got good at it, but I'm sure there's people that are far better at it than me now. And so I think there's this, this belief that I've got this wide array of extraordinary capability that makes me something like Superman. And so when I'm hiring people or I'm asking people to do things for me, like, I'm going to give them all the things that sort of, I hate to say it, but I think it's true, like, don't really matter. And right. I'm going to do all the important work myself. And that mentality works for just a short period of time while you're building a great team around you. But once you start having the ability to have people, and I'm going to talk about that next because I think that's really important, you've got to start recognizing that each and every person has their own superpower.
Right.
And your job is to identify that superpower in the people that work with you and in the people that you're hiring. Because if you're truly hiring somebody that has a superpower and that's not something that you have a superpower in, why would you continue to do that thing? Why wouldn't you give it to the person who actually is naturally inclined to have that superpower?
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. Agreed.
You know, case in point. So, you know, with the Autopilot Entrepreneur Program, you know, we come in and show people how to put systems in place to grow and scale their business and things like that. But rewind the clock, like, I was the first recipient of all of that. And when I was building all of that out, at first, I was trying to be the hero who created the system, who ran the system, who like did key tasks in the system, like all these different things. And the truth is, I suck at running the system.
Right.
Like, I'm not good at it. I'm not great at overseeing the day-to-day details of things. I'm good at getting reports and seeing where things are on track and off track and all these other things. But to actually run the system and keep things going and keep the tempo moving along, like I'm not the right guy for that. And had I not recognized that and resisted and been like, this is my system, like I have to run it because nobody can run this system better than me, like my business would be so far behind where it is right now because of me holding on to that false belief that I'm the hero and I have to do all of the important work myself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think you know how I liken a lot of this? Like one of the experiences I had in my earlier stages of life was as a chef. And like head chefs are often very controlling. And there was one particular time where this chef just wouldn't pass on any of the work to do with any of the meals to anyone. It was like he was in his own world and we're just stood around like, what do I do? Like I can do some of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I don't know where you get the impression that head chefs are controlling. Like you look at somebody like Gordon Ramsay and he seems very, very relaxed.
Yeah. Stress-free kind of guy.
Yeah. It's just a really carefree work environment when you're, when you're working with him. Oh God. I relate to him more than I care to admit. Yeah, but that's it. And you got to like, and if you don't give people the, you know, the important work to do, then the people who are good and who do have those superpowers, they don't want to stick around.
Right. For sure.
Right. Like who wants to stay around if you feel like you're completely underutilized and potentially unappreciated?
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody. Like human beings are purpose-driven beings, right?
For sure.
And they want to feel like they've got meaning. They want to feel like they're working towards something and all this other stuff. And if you've got great people and they're just like sitting there looking at you, like saying, Hey coach, put me in. You're like, no, I got to play like the entire game myself.
Right.
You know what? Screw this. I'm going to go on a team where I do get some playing time.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. So, and part of the reason I want to share all this too is I sort of wanted to put the fear of God in you that this book I'm writing is going to be amazing.
Right. Not only is this chapter 3 that's done, by the way, it's amazing.
Awesome. Okay. This is working out beautifully. So the second false belief about this whole like trying to do it all on my own is that So let's go through the train of thought. We're like, okay, you shouldn't do everything all on your own. You shouldn't do all the important work on your own, in fact. And then what's the very next objection that somebody's going to bring up? Well, I don't have enough money to hire anybody.
Right. Yep.
Right. That's exactly what they're going to think. Okay. Like, I totally agree. I shouldn't do it all myself, but I can't afford to hire people. Like how many times had you thought this exact thing?
Every single time I've considered hiring.
Yeah. And I remember like when I went from, you know, just sort of doing consulting on my own. And then I started building out a team like, years ago, I was like, man, I don't know. Can I afford to hire this person? What's like, can I just keep doing everything on my own? Pretty please. Like, why is everybody telling me like, you know, I need to get help? And it felt painful. Over the course of time and, you know, learning from my experience, but, you know, then all of the different companies that we've worked with and seeing this, like hearing this, well, James, but you know, I can't hire somebody until I have like, I've reached this certain goal. And you know, I can't hire somebody until, you know, I've got, you know, money in the bank or I got this or I got that or whatever. I get that, right? That's a very real concern.
Sure.
Because this is not sort of just like, you don't hire people because you feel good about it. You hire people because you need them and you believe that you're going to be able to get leverage on your own time.
Right, and, sure.
And so what I really started seeing was that people don't understand opportunity cost. And I think that's the reason why they believe that they don't have enough resources to hire people. So here would be a great example.
Give us a great example, James.
I'm going to give you a great example, Dean. The only way I could give you a better example is if Ramasio was here.
Obviously his example would be better than yours.
Well, of course it would. And then it would also drag on for about 45 minutes with no breath, no coming up for air. So let's say that you are and have always been fascinated by McDonald's, the restaurant, right? If you can call it a restaurant, which I guess is questionable. But you've always been fascinated by McDonald's. And for whatever reason, you like those little visors that they wear when they're like standing at the cashier and the front.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, right? You're just like, man, I think it would be cool to work as a cashier at McDonald's and wear one of those little visors. And I don't think I've ever had that thought. But the part that I did think would be fun, I don't think they have this anymore because everything is computerized. But you remember they had like that microphone that they would like be like, number two, please.
Oh, yes.
Prepare.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I always wanted to be the guy, like, and I sort of wanted to do voice on that microphone. So for me, this analogy is like sort of far off, but maybe closer than you might think that I always want to work and screw around on that microphone. So anyway, so let's say that you really, really have this burning desire to be a cashier at McDonald's. Okay. And your day job though, what you're actually doing is you're an entrepreneur and you're, you know, you, over the course of your year, whatever, you average it out. And in your day job, you're making, you know, $100 an hour or $50 an hour, whatever the number is, right? And one day you decide to go into McDonald's. You're like, you know what? Screw it. I want this so bad. I want to be this cashier. I want to experience what that's like. And you go in, you fill out your application. And a couple of days later, they call you up and they say, hey, Mr. Holland, congratulations. You have been selected to be the next cashier at your local McDonald's. And you know, once all the rejoicing and everything stops, you're like, okay, cool. I finally get to go in. And you go in, they give you the visor, they give you the polo shirt, like all of the things that you've been dreaming of. And here you are. And you're like, all right, the only thing is I've got to, you know, stop what I'm doing as an entrepreneur for today. And I'm going to go chase my dream of being the McDonald's cashier, right?
Right.
And you go in and you do it all, right? You take people's orders, you talk into the microphone, you get in arguments with people because they're not happy about how many fries came in their happy meal. Like it's like everything you've ever imagined. And at the end of the day, you get your paycheck because this is like a one day thing. And you work 10 hours and it was $10 an hour. And they're like, Mr. Holland, here's your $100 for working today. Right?
Right.
And you're like, okay, cool. So you take your check and you're going to go deposit that check. And when you go to deposit that check, and let's say on an average day as an entrepreneur, you've been making $50 an hour. Just make it like really, really basic here. If you had worked at $50 an hour as an entrepreneur in your business that day, for 10 hours, you'd have made $500.
Sure.
Working at McDonald's for 10 hours at $10 an hour, you made $100. So how much money did you make that day you worked at McDonald's?
I lost.
Of course.
$400.
You lost. But it would appear that you actually made money.
Correct. Yes, I see. Oh, but did I jump too far ahead there?
No, you're good. You're right on track. You're helping me along.
Okay.
But clearly nobody has this burning desire to go be a cashier at McDonald's.
Sure. Right?
But every single day when we're working on things in our business that somebody can do cheaper than us, that somebody can do faster than us, that somebody could do more effective than us, you're not making the money that you think you're making.
Right.
Like you are losing that money day in and day out. And so when people tell me that they don't have enough resources to hire people, my question to them is, are you only working on low value tasks? The only time in which you should not have enough resources to hire somebody is when you're consistently working on low value tasks.
Right. Yeah.
If you're consistently working on low value tasks, then you need to change that. You need to start working on higher value tasks that provide more value to the people that are paying you money. And as soon as you're doing that, as soon as you are able to work on high value tasks, then you should be taking the low value task or anything, even if it's not low value, but somebody else can do it cheaper, faster, or better than you. And you need to start getting that off of your plate, because otherwise, every single day you continue to do that, as crazy as it sounds, you are in fact deciding to go into McDonald's and be the cashier instead of running your business.
Mm.
Yeah. Opportunity cost is real, even though you don't pay. Like when I went and worked at McDonald's that day, or you went and worked at McDonald's that day, like I didn't actually pay anybody the $400 that I lost, right? Right. There was no bill for the $400. So it's like, oh, I didn't lose the $400. You 100% did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's this understanding of opportunity costs that I think is causing people to believe that I don't actually have enough resources to hire people. And it's totally bullshit. And one of the things that that I like to share with people is that when you're hiring somebody, you are not paying them for their time. You are buying back your own time.
Mm, I remember you saying that to me some time ago, I think last year or maybe a couple of years ago now. And I remember you first saying that and I was like, huh, you're right. It was a very different way of looking at things for me. And I was like, that is different, but yet so damn correct.
Well, it's recognizing that your time and your like everything that you're doing has a certain value on it.
Right.
And your growth as an entrepreneur should be to continuously figure out how you can add more value and become more valuable with the things that you work on. Right.
Right.
And when you're hiring people and you're truly thinking through this, well, I'm buying back my own time. Anytime you can buy back your own time at a discount, you got to do it.
Yes.
Right. And this is not like a one-time thing. Like this is, you have to constantly be vigilant of where am I not buying my own time back at a discount?
Yeah.
And that's how you continue to, one, grow your own skill set and have the bandwidth to be able to do that. But then let's talk about like the other side of the equation here. Let's like completely unselfishly. Every time you're not hiring people when you could be because you have something higher value to do, you are like restricting the flow of wealth and abundance and money into other people's lives.
Mm.
Right? Like you're stepping on your own air hose because you're like, okay, well, I have to do this. And so that means the person that you could have hired, like they don't get hired.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Or they stay stuck in a shitty job doing something that they don't like when they could be working for you. And hopefully if you're, you know, doing a lot of other things for, you know, in terms of being a great leader, you're going to provide an amazing culture, an amazing place for them to work and to be on a mission and to accomplish all these different things. And when you have this scarce belief that I don't have enough resources to hire people, even though not hiring people is costing you money, you're not just costing yourself money, you're costing the would-be people that are working for you money.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Which I think is ridiculous. And I don't know about you, like one of my absolute favorite days. So I like, we're on a, you know, 2 week pay cycle and I'm a big advocate of making sure that, you know, I'm the one doing all the paycheck stuff in our company.
Sure.
One of my favorite days of the month are the 2 days that I get to pay everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Like it brings me such an incredible amount of joy to be able to pay people to do things that are adding value that I know and then paying them that they are able to do things in their life and have a job that they like and be on a team that they enjoy being on, all those different things. And if I stayed stuck in this, like, well, I got to do it all, I don't have enough resources to hire people, I don't recognize the opportunity cost, I don't get to participate in that contribution.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't really talk about all that much, but that's a real factor too. Like, it's an opportunity to give, and it's not charity because they're providing an extreme amount of value back.
Sure.
But people want to be able to provide that value. So give them the opportunity and stop hogging it all for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really great way as well. I think it took me a while to actually, in a way, one of those things that you just said about payday being the greatest day that you look forward to. Like, I remember actually, and you know, I don't mind admitting this now because it was a phase I went through. Like, I used to actually dread that day. And I think this maybe used to be like more of like the mentality from when I was in employment. Like, there were times, like, for example, that, you know, there was, let's just take one of my jobs. When I used to work in a bar, I actually used to get paid cash. Like, it didn't used to be like a deposit into my bank account. Like, I used to get a little envelope at the end of the week. I was paid weekly and it was cash. And I always remember like, the manager or the boss there being like, almost like, they begrudged giving it you. It was almost like it was like you're a pain in the ass to be getting. It was done in like a jokey way. Like, I'm not saying like he was genuinely like angry to be paying me my paycheck, but it was almost like a jokey way. Like, oh, do I want to give this to you, sort of thing. It was like a joke. And I think maybe like, as I look back, like little things like that, perhaps almost gave me this like mindset that like, oh, payday, when you're paying people, it's like something to begrudge. It's like, oh, you're taking my money. But actually, like, that has to be shifted, you know, and I'm the same as you now. Like, I have two great days because we pay monthly. I think in the US you do like bi-weekly, right? Is that like the standard?
Yeah. I think everybody does a little bit different. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. So here it's like a monthly thing. But I get two good times a month. One is paying the team, and two is paying our affiliates. Cause like to me, it's a similar thing. Like, these are people representing the business out there promoting our products and services, and we pay them commissions. It's like, I get to give those, like, some of our people, like, we paid $10,000 plus months to some of these people, you know, some more. And that's a similar kind of feeling for me as well. Like, I see it that like, actually the reverse of how I used to think now is like, the more I'm paying out to others on my team and our affiliates, the better I am doing personally. And that's kind of like the shift now. Like, I know now the more I'm paying out, the better I'm actually doing. And it's a very different way of looking at it than I used to. And I think, you know, you've just said it perfectly.
Well, I think our job as entrepreneurs at the end of the day is to be creators.
Right.
We create. And that's a very important role, right?
Right.
There's nothing that really gets accomplished without creating something first. And so, you know, we create ideas and we create businesses and we create all these different things, but we create opportunity, and that opportunity is not just for ourselves. That opportunity is for other people. And of course we get benefit from doing that. But I think if you ask any entrepreneur, like, part of the benefit is making money. Mm-hmm. But the other part of the benefit is actually just capitalizing on all these opportunities that you see and that you recognize and everything like that. And our job is to expand the pie.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
It's to make the pie bigger. And when you look at an economy that's growing, that's exactly what's happening. The pie is continuously being expanded. And when you look at an economy that's, you know, shrinking and in recession and stuff, it's a pie that's shrinking. And nobody wants that. And so, you know, expanding the pie in your own little world comes from recognizing that the value that you're adding needs to be higher in some area. And that's where you should focus. And then you need to buy back your own time by allowing other people to participate in the game and in the pie that you're expanding. So
definitely, definitely. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, then I guess I can count on at least one star review from you when the book launches.
No, I'm going to be the guy that's outside the bookstores like, don't buy this book.
like in a trench coat flashing people to deter them. Stay away, stay away.
Read my honest book review between James's book and Dean's book.
Okay. So we've got, you know, the first one that says, you know, I got to do everything myself. I'm the superhero. The second one that says, You know, I don't have enough resources. And then when you conquer those two, then you get to the third one, which I always love. And they're like, look, I don't trust anybody to do a good job.
Right. Yes.
Right. Like you said, you know, a lot of head chefs are control freaks. I think you just substitute the words head chef for entrepreneur. Right. And I think you're saying
the exact same thing. Yeah.
Right. And I totally get that, but I think that comes from a misunderstanding of accountability.
Right. Yeah,
and so like when I think about all this stuff, like, you know, a lot of my team was actually giving me really a hard time the other day. They were joking around because we were like trying to name something, and I said, "Oh, we should call it something system," and they were like, "Why is it always system with you?" And I was just like, I don't know. I guess it's just how I think. So, but when I think about this, like, think about driving your car, right? You know, when I was over there visiting you for your wedding, you know, we drove, you know, drove here and there in your gorgeous new Range Rover. And what if your Range Rover had no speedometer and no gas gauge, and you just didn't really know, like. You're like, oh, I guess I'm going about this fast, and maybe I'll go and get gas now, or petrol, as you guys call it. Maybe I don't know what to do there, right? Do you trust that you have enough gas in your car?
No.
You know how much gas you have because that's how much the gas gauge tells you that you have.
Yeah.
Right? You trust that you're going, you know, 50 or 60 miles an hour? Not really. You look down and you say, oh, I'm going 50 or 60 miles an hour, right? Nobody trusts that all those things. So it would be ridiculous for somebody to say, I'm not going to drive my car because I don't trust that I'm going to know how fast I'm going or how much gas I have.
Yeah.
And the reason why you're able to do those things and still have control is because every system needs a feedback loop.
Right.
Right? The feedback loop that's telling you what's happening. The feedback loop in your car are the gauges that are telling you, here's how fast you're going, here's how much gas you have, here's your engine temperature, here's your tire pressure, like all those things, right? Without those feedback loops, you're sort of guessing. And I think more than anything, what entrepreneurs are saying is not that I'm a control freak and I don't trust anyone to do a good job. I think what they're really saying is, how am I going to verify that people are actually doing a good job? And how am I going to know that things are working the way that I want them to work?
Yeah.
Right? And so this is a different story. Now we're asking a productive question. How can I know when things are working the way that I want? How can I know that I'm going to be able to manage this without actually doing the thing? And so, you know, one of the things that you know, I teach people is how to, you know, create really simple but super important verifiable standard operating procedures in their company, right? Yeah. Like we did this with you like some time ago. And then you're like, okay, now I know when somebody's doing a good job. And then extrapolating that into a reporting that says, okay, now I can see where everything is in the company and creating the feedback loop, because it's not that we're scared to delegate. This is what I really want people to take away from this piece. It's not that we're scared to delegate. We're not deficient as entrepreneurs and saying like other people can delegate, like corporate executives can delegate, but I can't, right? That's a ridiculous way to approach this. It's not that we're scared to delegate. What we're scared of is not knowing when things are getting done. We're scared of not knowing whether the things are on track. We're scared of not knowing whether everything is being handled the way that we want it to be. Yes, we're control freaks. I will give you that 100%. But you can still be a control freak and get other people to do a good job when you can verify and you have accountability metrics in place that allow you to see that things are actually getting done. And I think that's the thing that people need to focus on, is how do I put those structures in place that give me the feedback loop? How do I build the speedometer and the gas gauge and the tire pressure gauge into my business so that I'm not just like sending things out into a black hole and hoping that they get done. Right? That's not the right way. Knowing that they got done and being able to measure it, like, That's what's required here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel this is a, I wish we had like, well, maybe you do, like a thing where people could go and study more of this from you. This can't all be fitted into one little show, can it?
It cannot. And so this is me sneakily pre-selling my book.
Sneak attack. And I fell for it that much myself that I even just lined up the shameless plug.
I know. I can't even believe this happened. This is a ruthless competition, and word down the primrose path. But it will all be in chapter two, section two,
page 33, paragraph 7.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, I'm actually doing a bunch of videos later this month, like 3 or 4 days of video shooting where we're doing a bunch of content. It's all going to be free and available and everything like that. So I think this will probably be one of the things I touch on a little bit, but definitely be in the book. But the point today is these three reasons, I got to do it all on my own. I'm the hero. I don't have enough resources to hire people. And I'm a control freak and I don't trust anyone to do a good job. Like those three false beliefs will 100% hold you back from growing your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. It's funny actually, like, it's been kind of good for me to sit back and listen to you going through this stuff because it actually highlights all the areas I had to change. and you know what? I'm going to add in one thing as to like why I think that I felt certain ways about some of the things you've explained. I think one of my biggest personally for me was struggling to actually hand over control because I felt that I could do these things better. Not necessarily always better. That may be not even right. Sometimes feeling that way. But I tell you another area, and this might be kind of good to raise, is feeling like actually it takes so much longer to teach and train someone else to do it that I might as well just get on with it myself. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I know how to do this thing with my eyes closed. It'll take me 5 minutes, or I could spend 30 minutes showing you how it's done. Like, oh, I can't be bothered. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I was like that for a long time. And I realized that actually what I was doing is I was looking at it at that one as that one task, not the fact that this needs doing every week or every day. It was like looking at this one time and thinking, well, I need to spend 60 minutes creating a standard operating procedure for this and documenting the process, and I might as well just get on with it. That's how I used to think, like, oh, 60 minutes this time creating all this training, or just 5 to 10 minutes doing it myself. And I used to look at it this one time, be like, you know what, leave it to me. I'll do it. I can do it fine anyway. You know, and that used to be the view I'd take. But then once, it was without a doubt, not to, I'm going to have to plug your goodness as well now. Like, It was without a doubt, like obviously consulting with you and getting all that help off you and your company to help me not just create the systems, but actually change my mindset on a lot of it and to get out of that. And this is without a doubt an area you helped me see clearly was, you know, you're looking at it as this one task, this one time. What about the fact that A, this is probably a repetitive task that happens on a weekly or daily, weekly or monthly basis. And what if you are out of the equation? Let's just say I'm out at an event or I'm on vacation. Who does that thing now? And it's like, I used to look at it as this one isolated incident, but I used to look at it as one isolated incident repeatedly. Every time it would come back around, oh, I'll do it. Oh, I'll do it. Oh, I'll do it. You know? And when you showed me the way, let's say it like that, when you taught me the better way, I realized that actually, you know what? It may be a pain in the ass. And I'm just honest, like, sometimes it does feel like doing that thing is just a pain in the ass. It's not one of those things I enjoy, put it that way. But what I enjoy is looking at it afterwards and going like, huh, I don't ever have to do that thing anymore. And that is now what drives me that first time around. Cause it's still now to this day, when I know the benefit of it, I still think like, oh, this is a pain in the ass. But instead of now just being like, I'll get on with it, I think, you know what? I will get on with it, but I'm going to record myself or document myself doing it. And that's what I now do. I use a thing called Loom, which is like a screen. It's like Jing. It like records your screen. And so I just hit record and I'll do it. And so now I found a way for me to be like, okay, well, I might have to still do it this one time, but I'm going to record myself doing it. And then I'm going to document the process and I'm going to create a procedure from it. And now I don't have to do it again. And like, that's now mm-hmm. what drives me is thinking, instead of thinking short term, like, oh, I can just get on with this. I think now, well, I'm going to get on with it this one time, document it, and then never do it again. And like, this is one of the areas you helped me massively to the point where now I think it's been longer, but let's just say it's 1 year since you helped me with all this stuff. Like now there's that many things that I don't have to do that sometimes, I'm not saying all the time because I still keep myself very busy in other areas, but I remember there being a period of time where I was like, what on earth am I supposed to do now? Because I'd passed on everything, like not everything, but you know what I mean? Like I documented that many things that kept me busy that now I was like, well, now what on earth am I supposed to do? And I had to realize that actually now I had all this time to do the things I should be doing, you know? And so I just wanted to throw that in because that was, you know, on this whole topic that we've spoke about, that was without a doubt, my biggest sticking point is thinking not that I can do it better, not that I should be the one doing it, but actually getting over the hurdle of, it felt like such a pain in the ass to actually create a procedure behind it that to me, it was always easier to just get on with the job myself. And so shifting and just putting in that 1 hour and today, that 60 minutes now, to never do that thing again, even if it's 5 minutes, doing it 10 times was the equivalent of doing it that one time how I needed to never do it again. And that for me was like a big shift. Yeah. And you almost get addictive to it's almost like you got addicted to freeing up time. And I think that's one of the things you said previously, right? When we were just talking is like, you're not paying people for the sake of paying people and have people around you that's fun and nice. It's like, you're literally paying you're buying back your own time. And that time can then be spent either A, on tasks that drive the business, the creative and the things like this, or actually enjoying the fruits of your labor, as I would say. Like, I can go and play golf because I know that you're doing that thing and I'm not doing it now. And so that to me was like a huge shift that unfortunately I have to say you helped me with, all right?
Well, I will take that. Maybe we're up to 1.5 stars now on the review that you'll give at some point. But you know the thing that you're talking about here is we can't be short-sighted,
right?
In building our business, right? When people are like, "Oh man, I want to build a company, or I want to build a business, or I want to grow my business," like it's. I think sometimes it's helpful to think about the fact that you are building a business, right? And the things that you're putting down today are the bricks that the things in the future will rest upon. And if you don't lay those bricks down, there's not going to be anything to build upon, and everything just sort of stays at the ground level. And that's not what you want. And being short-sighted in things like, oh, I'm just going to do it myself because it's easier, or any variety of things like that, I think just actually does the complete opposite of what you say you really want, which is to build a business.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think another, like one of my first ever mentors many years ago now, 10 years ago, geez, oh Christ. He used to say to me like, you're a busy fool.
Right.
And I'll never forget that. Like, to start with, I was like, what does he mean? Is he being horrible? He's like, no, you're a busy fool. Like, you're busy on all the wrong stuff. And that's how he used to explain it. You're a busy fool.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess some people now, I'd heard people say it differently in different ways over the years. Like, a lot of people now say, like, you're working in the business, not on the business. Mm. It's really the same thing. It's like, you're being a busy fool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to take the time to say, how can I start, you know, getting these things? And I think one of the things that needs to be said here, and maybe this is like sort of how we conclude, is this doesn't happen overnight, right?
No.
There's always going to be more stuff that you need to get off of your plate. There's always going to be new ways of, you know, thinking about this stuff. As soon as you get to another level, there's going to be another opportunity where it's going to be painful for you to hire somebody again. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely
all this. So this is a constant process, and yes, you can get massive benefit right now, but it's not, all of this is not a one-time event. This is a way of seeing things. This is a mindset and a way of being that if you continue to focus on these principles and not have those false beliefs, the results will start to show themselves and the fruits will be more and more and more. But it's not like one day you're just like, okay, like all this is going to go away because, you know, I heard this thing on this podcast this one time and I did a few things. It's like, okay, great. That's a start. You got to keep doing the right things, right? You know, when you go to the gym, you don't just go and get one workout and then you're in shape for the rest of your life.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. but that's not how it works, right? You got to keep going, right? You got to keep strengthening those muscles. You got to keep practicing. You got to keep doing all the things. And the more you practice these mindset tools and the more you think about things in this way, the stronger you're going to get, the stronger your business is going to get, the better of a leader and a manager and an entrepreneur and a contributor and everything like that, that you're going to be. So this is like, these are fundamental things that you need to continue to do over and over and over. And I think I just want to make sure that that's clear. It's not like this is a one-time event.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, I can say for me, like still now, like I've shifted that mindset for a year and I still think like, oh, let me just get on with it. That I have to step back and say, no, that's not who I am anymore. But you still have that voice. I always think like you always have these two voices. Or is that just me? Do I need to seek help?
Are you sure you only have two?
Yeah. I sometimes feel I have Ramasio looking down on me as well. So there's, well, a third.
He's sort of looking down on all of us from his, from his lofty heavenly perch. So with that said, I guess we can wrap this thing up today, man.
Yeah, I think it's been a great show. I've been a student and a listener. No, that's the same thing.
That's okay.
Oh, crap.
We'll roll it.
Double dipped on study time.
Yeah. Well,
but no, this has been awesome. I think one of our longer shows as well. Some of our listeners keep saying, you guys need to stop making short shows. I think today we delivered the goods.
Well, I hope so. And I hope that I've put the fear of God in you to start writing your book. Because I'm
playing. Right. Yep. Yeah. I'm reaching out to an outsourcer right now.
All right. Fantastic. I can't
Chapter wait. One. This isn't my story.
I didn't grow up in Pakistan. What is it?
I didn't breed camel. It was budgies.
That's amazing. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you to you guys who are our loyal listener. We appreciate you. In all seriousness, thank you guys for tuning in as always. Please share the show, recommend it if you're enjoying it. We'd love to hear from you as well. And until next time, this is James P. Friel signing off with my amazing co-host, Mr. Dean Holland, for another episode of Just the Tips. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for tuning in to Just the Tips, where we believe business should be profitable and fun. For show notes, links, and other information on our guests, visit justthetipshow.com. For more information on how to connect with Dean Holland, visit deanholland.com. And if you'd like to get free from the day-to-day operations of your business while making more money, visit me at jamespfriel.com/autopilot. Our theme music is Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.